wasn't nice, Howdy. He's trying to bare his soul, and then you just shut him down. Why don't you be quiet
back
there?
It's cool. Let's hear about Rashad Penny.
Gotta hurt his feelings like that.
No, it's fine. I'm just listening to Rashad Penny. Don't have to talk about it anymore.
Trying to bare his soul, and you gotta bury him like that, Howdy.
It's fine. Rashad Penny does. Maybe.
You know how quick this guy is to cry now. Crying out loud. You want to know a little bit about Rashad Penny? A little bit what I've learned over the last 3 or 4 days about Rashad Penny. We do know that he's 5'10". He's 220 pounds. We do know that he ran sub-4.5 at the combine. The 7 kickoff return touchdowns are pretty representative of that game-changing speed. Just looking at those combine numbers now, you know, there are a couple things that jump out on the other side of the column, and that's just 13 reps at 225. That's not good enough. You know, I have long arms. I have no pecs. Yes, I was high on creatine, but I could still rep out 12 times at 225. As powerful and as strong as he is, that number's got to go north. There's got to be more commitment to that, because if you're going to be a good pass blocker in this league, you got to jack fools up, and it takes some punch to do that. It's not just a willingness. It is, as I said with Will Disley, it is about leverage and getting down and then using those arms. That's why they measure the bench press, why it matters. What's your punch, man? What's the stopping power in that punch when that linebacker's coming or that safety's coming? That number's got to go up. The other one that was curious is just 32-inch vert. You would think for 4.46 speed that there would be a little bit more explosion in that way, but I'm nitpicking because the game tape speaks for itself. And on that game tape, I really liked what John Schneider had to say post-draft, and that is, here is a young guy that's played 54 games at the collegiate level, and when you play that much and you're that durable, you do know what your strengths and what your weaknesses are.
He's a kid that knows who he is and what his game is. He knows he has a lot of work to do in pass protection, and he's been adamant about that and knows that, like, he's got to, you know, get to work on that.
But there's no question, when Salk asked him, what do you like to do? The million-dollar question for any running back, what Salk would ask every one of these guys before maybe one of his peers shuts him down. He would ask these guys, do you want to run around, make a move and juke and get to the house, or do you want to run right through someone?
Did you just refer to Howdy as my peer?
Maybe.
Definitely running through him. It depends on the down and distance. And if it's 3rd and 1, 3rd and 3, I was always taught at San Diego State, no matter what, that is on you to get the first down from our running back coach. So I think third and short situations are always on a running back, nobody else. No matter about who's at the line of scrimmage or anybody just coming up close, it's just all on us.
BYOB. 3rd and 1, BYOB. You know what that is?
Be your own blocker.
There you go. Oh, there's an unblocked safety. Oh, there's a linebacker. Oh, but the lineman didn't get off on the block. Oh, now shut up. Be your own blocker. On 3rd and 1, there is no excuse. There is no explanation. Put your pads down and get 3 feet to move the chains. He did it time and again. You know, Lydia likes to say, I think she founded this comment, about what could be your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness. This is one humble dude. Okay, this was not a guy that was highly thought of coming out of high school. Hardly recruited, played in a really small school, a really remedial system. Had to learn a lot of ball at San Diego State. Is unbelievably humble. We've heard that a ton. But is there enough juice there? I think that will be the continued question. You know, when I read some of that backstory, Mike, I think of Amara Darbo. Now, his story, Rashad Penny is nothing like Darbo, having in becoming an American citizen and everything that he endured and everything else, but just a true, genuine humility. And is there enough juice? Are you going to fight for it? Coach Carroll, well, he really believes that he's going to attack this competition.
He's coming in here to compete. He knows that. You know, he didn't just hand him the job. He's got to come in here and battle, which he's ready to do. But he's such an exciting player, and he's so versatile and so dynamic. We know that every time he gets his hands on the ball, he can score a touchdown.
So this is a little line, and you can take the music on down here because I think it leads to this conversation.
It's such a challenge, man.
This is the little line, right? Like, do I just want a bunch of, well, Brock's a 4.0 student, and he's a quality guy, and he's a high-character guy, and he does all the right things, or do I need
Jeremy Stevens,
Olin Krutz? Right? Do I need someone that's just going to mix it up that isn't the choir boy? How do you live in both of these two worlds? You talk to college recruiters especially. The pro level starts to weed it out a ton, Mike. I mean, it just funnels it down. Like, you know, there's so many guys that are going to be weeded out because they just don't have the height and the weight and the speed and everything else. But there still is, like, at the bottom of that little funnel, like that decision between here's this really high character, humble, team-first guy, But I need edge.
Right. You got to have some dogs. You can't have a team of Russell Wilsons. You got to have some Marshawn Lynches. We've heard that before, and we know that it's true. But you also can't have too many of those guys, or else your team starts to fall apart.
Exactly.
You become
right.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
That's exactly right. So how do I walk that line? And especially coming off this team that had so many of those dogs, that had so much bark, that had Michael and had Richard and had Marshawn.
As you know, Brock, I am a great outdoorsman. Having spent years and years outdoors, you know, nature and camping and canoeing and all that. And I would tell you it's a lot like canoeing. It's a lot like the old J-stroke when you're in the back of the canoe. They call it the stern, not the bow. When you're the stern man in the canoe, you're doing the old J-stroke. You don't want to overconnect. It's easy to move that rudder too far in one direction or the other, start drifting right or left to the port or starboard. But I will tell you, as an experienced outdoorsman and canoe enthusiast, that if you can find that way to just sort of correct a little bit back and forth, a little right, a little left, a little towards the character, a little back towards the anti-establishmentarianism that you might find from a Marshawn Lynch or some others, you'll find a pretty clear path forward down that river. Sure will.
Is that what you and Heather did early on?
I've never been in a canoe with Heather.
When you guys went to that yurt?
Nope, never canoed.
You never did?
Nope, never been canoeing with Heather. Never use the old J stroke. No.
So you think it just kind of will settle in?
I think that you tend to correct back and forth, and after the last couple of years of what they've had, they'll probably end up with some guys with a little better character, and after a few years of that, they'll probably start thinking, "Ah, we got to get a couple dogs in here in order to fight it out." And so these things will sort of drift back and forth, but as long as you can keep it relatively straight down the river, honestly, I think you're okay. The problem is over the last few years, they've come a little too close to shore on one side, and it's time to start correcting back the other way, and maybe this group does that. So